We're going to spend a few minutes today on an incredibly tough subject, unbearable, really, not at all appropriate for children, but an important conversation considering the statistics. 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 10 boys will be sexually victimized. 1 in 5 girls, 1 in 10 boys. And increasingly, that abuse is making its way online. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, there's been a massive increase in the spread of child pornography. 17 million images online last year, twice the amount of 2009. And now one of those images has cracked open an international network discovered here in Massachusetts and tracked by federal agents to a child predator in the Netherlands. There have been 43 arrests from here in Massachusetts to Holland to Arizona to Kansas. The most recent announced today, another one in the Boston area. Jennifer McKim tells the story in the Boston Globe, and she joins us now. Jennifer, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And, you know, we know child pornography exists. But your reporting in this case exposes how widespread it is and how horrific it is. Now, we're going to alert people when we talk more in depth about some of the images that were discovered. But let's start with one picture that unlocked this ring. Horrible as it is, it isn't half as bad as some of the others you describe, although it is of a half-naked toddler, 18-month-old boy, clutching a bunny. Where did this picture come from, and who were the investigators that received it?
This photo was a photo that was sent from a man in Milford. His name is Robert DeDuca, and he sent it to who he thought were other like-minded people who liked pornography, but instead he sent it to 2 federal agents who took a look at it and were really haunted by the photo. They'd seen worse photos. This one wasn't as graphic as some, but it was a naked boy. He was so young, they hadn't recognized it. A lot of these photos that go around the internet have been shared so many times that they actually recognize them. So that's how it started. And they looked at this photo and said, we want to find this boy.
Well, and this was a man from Milford, Massachusetts, that these ICE agents, these are immigration officials?
Right. They work for Homeland Security Investigations, which is a branch of ICE that goes after things that go over borders.
So these two agents, Peter Manning and Gregory Squire, had been tracking Robert DeDuca online. They get this photo from him. This man, 48-year-old Robert DeDuca, is married. He's a father of 3. And, you know, he appeared to be living a normal life. He worked at the Sheraton.
Exactly. I went to his neighborhood in Milford. He lived in a nice colonial on a very quiet residential street. People really didn't see anything that was strange about him at all. But in his free time, he collected thousands of photos of exploited and abused children.
But what were some of the things that he was writing about online and these two agents, Peter Manning and Gregory Squire, were reading?
This is the part that's hard to talk about.
Very hard.
Because reading these chats, basically he talked with other people about wanting to rape babies and talked with other people about it in this sort of glib, sort of chatty, laugh out loud kind of way, fantasizing about abusing kids.
His handle was Baby Todd, as in baby toddler.
Right. He liked young children. He liked children in diapers.
He also wrote about seeing toddlers at gyms and in locker rooms and at pools. I mean, very chilling stuff. And encouraged other people. I mean, one of the other things revealed in this reporting is that some of these abusers aren't doing the abuse, but they're actually even sending cameras to someone, for instance, in this case, in Arizona, to do the abuse.
Exactly. Some of them are looking at pictures, and some of them are producing them. And Robert DeDuca was one who, he was not charged with actual physical contact of a child, but he did have somebody that he talked to who was abusing a child. He sent him a camera. He sort of talked to him about different ways he wanted this child to be posed.
So this Robert DeDuca sends this photo of a, you know, 18-month-old, and these two agents, Peter Manning and Gregory Squire, get it. What do they do? And more broadly, what do these agents do when they look at these photographs?
With the advance in technology, child pornographers are having much better ways to talk to each other, communicate, be more anonymous. But at the same time, the investigators are having, they also have better tools to track down the offenders and track down their victims. Each of these pictures is a crime scene. And they can look at this picture and say, you know, what is this child wearing? You know, what is in the background? What kind of furniture is there? And in using these little clues, they can sometimes track down a child that could be anywhere in the world.
world.
Well, so they send this photo around the world, and there's an investigator in the Netherlands who sees it and sees that bunny in the photo and says, that's Miffy, the popular bunny in Holland that so many children have.
It's quite amazing. So this Dutch investigator, her name is Nienke Kapel, and they have an international database where everybody puts on these photos, and she saw a picture of this little boy and saw this picture of this bunny, which was very popular in the Netherlands, and she said, I think this boy is Dutch. So she asked a producer to put a picture of him, a sanitized picture, on something that was like the America's Most Wanted, and they put that picture up that night at around 9 o'clock at night, and within an hour, I think, very soon after, she got a phone call. What happened was at the house of this teacher and her husband, she got a call from her father-in-law and a friend who said, I saw what I think is your son on television, and I think something bad happened to him. The friend said, is your son at home? Because she didn't know what had happened. And the mother, she had no idea. At first she said, you know, what are you talking about? You know, my son is upstairs, tucked in bed, at sleep. And then it turned out when she called the Dutch investigator and she saw that photo of the boy on the television show, she realized it was her son. And very soon, immediately after, she realized that there had been a babysitter that she had that had made her uncomfortable. And that opened up sort of a door of hurt for the Netherlands.
That babysitter turned out to be 27-year-old Robert Mikkelsens, originally from Latvia. The press in the Netherlands now calls him the monster of Riga, the capital of Latvia. It turns out that, you know, he was abusing dozens of children, most under 2.5, you know, children who couldn't talk. And you went there and you spoke to the mother of the one child in the photograph and you witnessed, you know, the repercussions there. Just about everybody in Holland knows someone who has a child who was abused by this man.
It was staggering for this country. It really was. I mean, I could just stop someone on the street and ask them about this case, and everybody knew about it. It was so horrible for them. Once this man was arrested, Robert Mikkelsens, he started to just sort of tick off all the children that he had molested. And it wasn't just taking pictures. Again, these are hard things to say, but he was raping babies. Basically, he targeted children who were too young to talk so that he could do these things to them. And then he would send these photos all around the world. He was proud of it. He felt like it was artwork.
We wondered, why would you? There's no money to be made. Why are these men, largely men, circulating this stuff online? And as you said, it's because, you know, they're proud of it.
Exactly. It's when I first looked into this story, I was thinking that I was going to write a story about the business of child pornography and who was making money off it. But what I realized, it's really a cashless industry. The vast majority of people are just sending photos that actually the pictures are currency, and that when they have what they call a homemade photo of somebody, they can get sort of a better status in a forum, and then they can get other photos. It's like they're collecting baseball cards.
You know, as we have been saying, this is so hard to hear, but as Jennifer writes in her article, important to know because parents in particular had no idea when contacted that their toddlers were in these pictures. Just amazing. Jennifer McKim of the Boston Globe will be with us after a break. We'll hear more in 1 minute. Welcome back. And this morning, we're talking about an incredibly difficult topic, child pornography. After federal agents here in Boston recently cracked an international ring, that after 48-year-old Robert DeDuca of Massachusetts unintentionally sent them a picture of an 18-month-old child online. It was traced to a child predator in the Netherlands. He worked in a daycare center there. Picture also traced to stunned parents who had no idea their toddler was being abused and that was being shown online. Jennifer McKim of the Boston Globe details the story. And Jennifer, again, this is horrible to hear. So listeners, please forgive us, but it's important not to minimize this. There were also pictures of a naked infant in a roasting pan, a puppeteer in Florida talking about cannibalization, pictures of a 19-day-old infant being raped. Terrible. Terrible. How widespread is this?
Well, still a little unclear whether with technology it's just that more people are sending the photos or whether there's more abuse in the world. What investigators are saying is that they're seeing more pictures of younger children and more violent pictures because as these folks sort of find each other, they're sort of boosted up that there's other people like them. So it's definitely become darker.
Well, but you talk about these investigators also seeing images of children maybe 20 years ago as infants and then as toddlers and then as children and now as teenagers still with horrific looks of pain on their face. They're being abused. How horrible for the children. But what toll does this take on these investigators? How do they do this work?
Exactly. I mean, I talked to one prosecutor who says that, you know, every picture he sees and every chat he reads just sort of darkens his soul. It's a really tough job, and it's unfortunately becoming sort of a growing field. I talked to a psychiatrist who said he's now working with law enforcement and trying to teach them how to deal with this stuff because it's sort of an insidious type of effect on people, like not some immediate thing, but over a period of time, if you're looking at this stuff, it can be really difficult.
Well, the whole operation, not just the one that broke this ring, is called Operation Predator. It's been going since 2003. They've made 8,000 arrests. And then this most recent international ring, recently broken. Is it like cutting off the head of the snake, or does it just drive it somewhere else on the internet?
Bruce Foucart, who's the head of HSI in Boston, he was saying, you know, he could put all his investigators on this full time and he still wouldn't be able to stop it, that it really is so large. This one child led to this massive ring, but there's so many others that are still out there. So that is a really difficult thing. And so when I've talked to some of the victims advocates and prevention type people, they say, you know, you could go after this in law enforcement forever, but what you really need to do is work on preventing it through working with parents and families and child care providers and in that way.
Well, let's talk about that, because one of the men arrested in Arizona was living with his sister and abusing her child. Another man arrested was a parent abusing his own child. You have Robert DeDuca, who was doing everything he did online, but talking about going to swimming pools. And then, of course, in Holland, a mother who had no idea that her toddler is, you know, his pictures are now around the world, can't get them back. And, of course, the abuse. So how does a parent, what do you do?
Exactly. I mean, in the Netherlands, this daycare center was right in the center of Amsterdam, a few blocks away from the National Museum. It was filled with very sort of professional families, educated people who had their children in this care. So it really was sort of shocking for these people. It wasn't like people who were being neglectful to their children.
No, and these aren't, I mean, what was most shocking was in large part, these are not abducted children.
Right, right.
These are children that are living at home with their families and nobody knows what's going on. So we know that in Holland, after a huge investigation, they came out with a report saying that there should be two people at all time with children in daycare centers, a sensible rule. But what are parents to do?
Exactly. I've asked that a lot all the way through this story. And sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes you don't know. I mean, you can't blame those families who did have their children victimized. But at the same time, you know, we all should do a better job at due diligence and watching out for our kids and knowing who's there. And somebody said, one of the advocates I talked to, I mean, if you feel some kind of discomfort around someone, listen to your own feelings and listen to your children. So if your child says, I don't like to be around this person, listen to them.
Yeah, and maybe tell somebody. Meantime, in Holland, it's just broken families up. There are some families that are not going to tell these
right.
infant children what happened to them. Others are aware that these pictures are going to be around the web forever. And the mother of the child with Miffy the bunny in the photograph is coming here to the Massachusetts area in September. There's going to be a hearing for Robert DeDuca. What does she want?
Victims of child pornography so seldom come out and speak because they are really, it's sort of a crime of shame and embarrassment. And a lot of them just feel so terrible about what happened and fearful about the fact that these pictures are still out there. I've got to say, when I was looking into this, I mean, there's cases in other cases in Massachusetts. There was one in the last couple of years in Brookline where a man was taking photographs of kids through their windows. Mm-hmm. And I know of a family in that case who left the country. They were so horrified about what happened. So people generally, you know, they don't want to talk about it. And this family, as far as I know, didn't talk to other people in the Netherlands. None of the parents in the Netherlands really spoke out. And the press there was very respectful.
You described the press sitting at the court hearing for Mikkelsen, the daycare provider, pens frozen midair. Some of the things they were hearing were so horrifying they couldn't even write them.
It was just so graphic and so terrible, and so many children that really sometimes they just, I mean, just like talking about it now, it's difficult. It's mm-hmm. How can I write this or put this in the newspaper, what this man did to these children? So
87 children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this.
But what does this mother want to have happen here?
She is part of a very small but sort of growing movement among child pornography victims. victims who are seeking restitution. She wants to come to the U.S. I'm not sure if she's going to actually get here in September, but what she said is she really wants to come. She'd really like to look Robert DeDuca in the eye, parent to parent, say, look what you did to my child, that you enjoyed this. She said to me, you took a key and you walked into my house and then you sent it around the world. It was really compelling. And she just sort of, as a person, wants to be recognized for the pain that he did to her.
And then perhaps at some point restitution.
Exactly.
Interesting. Jennifer McKim of the Boston Globe will post her story on the local investigation that broke an international child pornography ring at hereandnow.org. Jennifer, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Tough stuff. Thank you. And, of course, we'll follow the story for you in September when Robert DeDuca again goes to court. Latest news is next, here and now.